Good morning. We welcome you to our fill-in worship service for Green Run Baptist Church. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 25, we read, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together." Now, we understand this morning that this online presence in no way substitutes the local church gathering. For there is a dynamic that takes place when God's people assemble together physically as one people, one gathering, offering worship and glory to God. There's handshakes, there's kisses, there's hugs, there's that mutual corporate worship. And we understand that some of that will be lacking this morning, but we feel that it would be helpful under this emergency situation that we as a church come to you, that we seek to minister to you through prayer, the Word of God, scripture reading, affirmations, and just to remind us to love one another. I would encourage each and every one of you to reach out to your neighbor, not only your physical neighbor, but your neighbor in the church. Look for others to minister to care for, to love. Look for gospel opportunities. Look for doors to open to share Christ during these difficult times, as there's much anxiety in the world today. And it's my prayer, and I trust that it would be yours as well, that we as a church would gain a greater appreciation for the corporate gathering that has gone out of style in many churches today. And I just trust in the weeks to come, as we are not able to assemble together in these chairs, in these seats, that you would long for that day, and hopefully it'd be sooner than later, when we gather together again in one another's presence in our physical bodies. But until that time, we pray that you'd be encouraged. What we do today may not look the same as what we will do next week. In fact, this service is not live. We are recording it on Saturday evening, trying to work out some bugs and things like that. Next Sunday may be live. But again, we trust that you would be encouraged through this. And look forward to that day when we will gather together in this building. This building is not the church, the people. We are the church. And though the church is empty, we are alive in Christ. So with that, I'm going to ask our brother, Amos McLeese, to come and call our attention to worship and to look to the Lord during these times. And the different men that we have, they'll come. When they're done, they will leave, get in their cars and leave, so that tomorrow morning they can worship together with their family as they view this broadcast.
Good morning. Welcome to the corporate worship service of Green Run Baptist Church. As Pastor Dave just said, this is different from how we usually do things, and I can agree with him. I hope that this gives us an appreciation for what we get to experience on the Lord's Day on a regular Sunday morning. This morning, our call to worship comes from Psalm 46, verses 1 through 7. The heading of this psalm is God, the refuge of his people. I pray that in this time of anxiety and stress going on in our country right now, that we as God's people will truly see him as our refuge. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning I am sure that many people under the sound of my voice watching right now would agree with me that this is a time of uncertainty, that this is a time of anxiousness in our country right now, Father God. But Father, I pray that as we hear your word preached to us this morning, and as we read scripture together, and as we recite the affirmation of faith with one another, that we would take solace in the fact that while we may be uncertain and while we may be nervous and perhaps we may be in a time of fear, you're never uncertain, O God. And you're never nervous and you never fear, O God. As the psalm said this morning, let us take solace in the fact that you are our refuge. You are our stronghold and you are our strength. Even in the times where the storms of life may toss us to and fro this morning, Father, let us find peace in the fact that you are in control in the midst of the storm. And yes, you are even in control of the very storms that we see in our lives, O God. Let us look to Christ this morning, the finished work of Christ on the cross. And even though we're not in the same place, Father God, give us a sense of community, even in this way of worship this morning, O God. We love you, we honor you, and we praise your holy name. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you, Amos. At this time, I'm going to read the words of a favorite hymn of mine, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. You know who know me, I'm not going to attempt to sing it, but I will read it because these hymn writers of old had a way of putting into words and song things to turn our eyes to the Lord in the midst of difficulty. So listen as I read. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness to see? There's a light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him, and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. And now the chorus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. At this time, Mark Hall will come and give us an Old Testament reading along with a prayer.
As Pastor Davis has already said, while this is not replaced the aspect of corporate worship, where we gather together as a congregation, we do thank God for technology and his grace that allows us to meet together in some capacity. As we move together and, you know, going through these times, just remember, continue to reach out for prayer, for anything that you might need, to the elders, to small group leaders, to one another. So I'm rereading the Old Testament. The Old Testament reading will be coming from Psalm 47. So if you will, you can open up your Bibles to there. The title of this psalm is God, the King of the Earth. Oh, clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with the voice of joy. For the Lord Most High is to be feared, a great King over all the earth. He subdues people under us and nations under our feet. He chooses our inheritance for us, the glory of Jacob, whom he loves, Selah. God has ascended with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a skillful song. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have assembled themselves as the people of God, of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. Let us pray. Father, during these unprecedented times, these times of anxiousness and even times of fear, Lord, you're here to tell us that you are still on the throne, that you are still exalted, that you are still King. Lord, nations are under your feet. You reign and you rule over all. Therefore, Lord, we should not fear. We should look to you during these times as we always should. But let this be a reminder that we are fragile, that life is but a vapor, and that we would cling to you, the King of all the earth. Not that these times are easy, Lord, they're not. But at these times we find our rest in you. Let us cling to you, Father. Let us know you. Let us know you more. Let us sing praises to you. Lord, just as we assemble online or wherever we are as families, just Lord, let us worship you in spirit and in truth, knowing who you are, looking forward to that day, that great day where there will be no more pain, no more sickness, no more death, as you have paid for our salvation. And Lord, one day we will see you face to face. Lord, encourage our hearts this morning. Encourage us and may we bring glory to your name. In your name we pray. Amen.
This morning's affirmation of faith comes from Psalm 23. If you have your Bibles, just turn over to there. This psalm reminds us that our Lord is a mighty shepherd and a trustworthy shepherd, that he is sovereign and that he is loving, that he is the one that restores our soul and leads us in the paths of righteousness. It does not say that we will be spared from the valley of the shadow of death, but that in that valley we can have no fear, for we know who our shepherd is. It ends with a very hopeful future, that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's encouraging this morning and in these times. Please read along with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
At this time, I'd like to read another famous hymn that's often sung during times of difficulty and trial. It is Well With My Soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of that glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be light. Or sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trumpet shall sound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. And then the chorus, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Our New Testament reading and also our reading for the text is found in Matthew chapter 8. You would turn with me there as we read together. Matthew 8, beginning with verse 23. This is where Jesus calms a storm. And when he got into the boat, the disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he, that is Jesus, was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he arose, and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will bless the reading of your word. We pray that it would bring much encouragement to the hearts of your redeemed this morning. And Lord, as we reflect upon this great and wonderful text, Lord, as Jesus was asleep in the boat in the midst of the great storm that was facing the disciples, Lord, I pray that we would learn to rest in Jesus. And when uncertainties and anxieties and storms around us fall, Lord, we are safe because we are in Christ and He is in us. And so, Lord, I pray that the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And Lord, I pray that this text this morning, that it would be a blessing to your people, both here and those who will hear through sermon audio and Facebook and other means, Lord, that it would be a great encouragement to them. And Lord, I pray that we would pass this message along to others. We pray that, Lord, those that do not know you, that would hear this great message of great rest in Christ, and they would look to Him and be saved. Lord, guard our time, guide our time, in Jesus' name, amen. It is a little different this morning, preaching, looking at a camera to an empty church auditorium, but I'm not preaching to this camera, I'm not preaching to this empty auditorium, but rather I trust that the Lord will use this message, this time together, to speak to your hearts, to encourage you in the Lord, to strengthen your faith. We do find ourselves today as a people, as a church, in a time of uncertainty, in a time of great anxiety, and many are overwhelmed with worry and distress. With this onslaught of the coronavirus, we are witnessing a worldwide pandemic, and in many cases a worldwide panic. We hear of death, loss of employment, quarantine, shut-in, and the list can go on and on. We are witnessing in our lifetime things that my generation have never been called upon to face before. And so I trust that we as the saints of old who have faced similar trials and testings of their faith, I pray that we would look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And that in the midst of all these uncertainties, that we would find rest, that we would find peace, that we would find comfort. I know the anxiety meter for many is at the tipping point. And there is rest in our Lord. And before we look at the message, I just want to talk a moment about God's providence. It had been my desire probably 3 weeks ago to bring a message similar to this. This is not exactly what I had prepared or planned, but for about 6 weeks now, it's just been on my heart, even from my own heart. Lord, how can I rest in the struggles and difficulties of life? There's various storms that come our way. We have the coronavirus storm. We have financial storms. We have family storms. Maybe marriages or children. Maybe we have health storms, workplace storms, relationship storms. The list can go on and on. And I've been praying for many weeks now, Lord, how can I, as a pastor, how can I find rest in the midst of the storm? And as God's providence would have it, the Sunday I originally planned to preach, I was unable to preach. Then the following Sunday, I had already scheduled Brother Mark Hall to speak, so I was not able to speak this message that week. And then as we were unable to gather together last Lord's Day, I wasn't able to preach this message then as well. So as God's providence would have it, and I think according to His providence, this message has been put on hold until this time and until this day. I'm going to follow 3 points in my outline. It will not be a long message, I don't believe. But we want to learn how to find rest with Jesus in the midst of the storm. 3 points. We're going to look at 2 examples of the disciples when they were in a boat on the storm-tossed sea. 2, we're going to look at the storms of life from God's vantage point, just very briefly. And then we'll wrap up the message by looking at the peace of God that passes all understanding. So let's look at 2 examples in Scripture of the disciples when they found themselves on a treacherous sea. And in both of these examples, we find them in a Galilean fishing boat on the Sea of Galilee, when suddenly, without warning, without notice, they find themselves on a storm-tossed sea. These were no ordinary storms. Peter, James, and John, who were fishermen, they faced many storms on the sea. But this storm was different. This storm was severe. In fact, the text tells us they are called great storms. This comes from the Greek word seismos, from which we get our English word seismic. And it means a violent shaking or an earthquake. This storm came suddenly, without warning, without notice upon the disciples. So the storms in our text, they're violent, they're sudden. They're storms that they could not have prepared for, but they're storms that they can only endure. So we have storms in our life. We have storms that come in different forms, different shapes, different categories. And sometimes they come without notice. Sometimes they are big. Sometimes they are seismic. But even in the midst of these storms, we will learn this morning that we can rest in Jesus. And so my purpose this morning is that God would bring us comfort, that He would bring comfort to the church, that as these storms arise and as they come what seems from out of nowhere, that we would rest in Christ, that we would trust in our sovereign God and King, even the Lord Jesus Christ, who is sovereign even over these storms, today's storms, and that He works all things for the good of His people and for His glory. And so in the midst of our struggles this morning, in the midst of our storms, may we seek our good in God's glory. So if you still have your finger in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 8, let's unpack this passage just a little bit. I'll begin by reading verses 23 and 24. And when Jesus got into the boat, His disciples followed Him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But He, that is Jesus, was asleep. A couple things I would like you to notice. Jesus led His disciples into this boat. He preceded them. They followed Him into the boat. And that teaches us that He's leading His children into the storms that are to come. The next thing we notice is that this storm was great. The boat was about to sink. It was being swamped by the waves. The water was coming into the boat. But then we see Jesus is fast asleep in the storm. The ship, that Galilean vessel, is being tossed back and forth. The waves and the wind are beating upon it. It's sinking. And we find our Lord asleep. In Mark's Gospel we read that Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. Can you imagine? The storms, the disciples are fearful of their lives. And Jesus has His pillow in the back of the boat, sound asleep. The disciples, they cry for help. They fear for their lives. And they cry out to the Lord in verse 25. It says they went, they woke Him and saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." It's interesting that before the Lord saves them, He calls into question their faith. Jesus said to them, "Why are you so afraid, O you of little faith?" Now they're fishermen, many of them. They see the storms. They understand the storms. They understand that this is a storm of epic proportions. They know unless Jesus intervenes, they will die. And Jesus says, "Why are you afraid? Why is your faith small? O you of little faith?" You see, they were afraid because they did not understand who was in the boat with them. They did not understand that the master of the seas was in the boat. And I see in this story at least one thing that increases my faith. And that is, in our storms, in our trials, the one who loves us, the one who gave himself for us, is in the boat with us. He's led us into the boat. He's in the storms of life when they come. And so we need not be afraid. Jesus, why are you afraid? Don't you understand who is in the boat? Who was in the boat? God was in the boat. Jesus is God incarnate. And while he was fast asleep in the boat, he was reigning over his creation. He was reigning over the storms. Now listen and listen closely. We are safer in the boat with Jesus in the storm-tossed seas of life than we are in the boat without Jesus on a calm day. The storms of life have no more power to destroy and crush you than they do to destroy and crush Jesus. We might remember in our study of the book of Colossians, we talked much about our union with Christ, and we learned that we are not only in Christ, but he's in us, the hope of glory. And so as we ride out this storm today and the weeks and days to come, not only the coronavirus storm, but other storms that come in life, rest assured that the one that loves you is riding out the storm with you. You're safe because you're in Jesus. You're safe because Jesus is in you. And no matter what the storms of life, whatever they may be, we can weather those storms for the sake of the gospel and for his glory. These storms are not unusual. You can look through biblical history. You can look through church history. And we find oftentimes God brings these storms. God brings judgment. God brings calamity. And we see that the true church always arises. The true church is always strong. The true church becomes a good gospel witness, a light unto the world. And so back to our text in verse 26, Jesus arose and he rebuked the winds and the seas. And notice, and there was great calm. Immediately, in Mark's gospel, we read, and he awoke and he rebuked the wind and the sea. And he said, peace, be still. As suddenly as these storms came upon them when they were in the boat, they dismissed. They diminished. It was quiet. There was calm. The waves ceased to beat upon the boat. The winds ceased to pound upon them. And then we read in Mark chapter 4, verse 41, and they were filled with great fear. They are now more afraid of the one in the boat than they were of the storm outside of the boat. They were afraid. They said one to another, who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Of course, we've already noted that Jesus is God. He is the sovereign one. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. And he calmed the sea for them. Listen, when these storms of life shall pass, and they will, I trust that our awe and our love for holy God would increase. I trust that our ability to comprehend how big and how great and how awesome God is will expand. And so we need not fear the storms of life when the one who created all things for his glory resides over the storms. We can trust in him. Now I want to look at our second illustration. Turn with me to another encounter of Jesus when he teaches his disciples a lesson on the storm-tossed sea. You can turn to Matthew chapter 14, and we'll look at verses 22 through 23. I'm going to read the text, comment as I go along. Matthew 14, beginning at verse 22. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat. Again, as with the other story, the disciples are put in the boat because of the will of Jesus. He commissioned them, he commanded them to go into the boat and to go before him to the other side. This time, what is different? He puts them in the boat, he commands them to go to the other side, but he is not with them in the boat. The sea is put out, the boat is put out to sea. Jesus then dismisses the large crowd that had come to hear him preach. And then in verse 23 we read, "And after he dismissed the clouds, he went up on a mountain to pray by himself." Listen, during these storms, take rest, take assurance that Jesus is praying for you. He prays for us. In fact, in Romans chapter 8, we learn that the Holy Spirit prays for us. So whatever we are called upon to face, whatever the waves may be, however strong the winds may be, know that Jesus is on the mountain. He is high. He is ascended. And He's praying for you. He's praying for me in the midst of the storm. Back to our text. While Jesus was praying, verse 24, said the boat, by this time, it was a long way from land. And it was being beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. Again, not an ordinary storm. It was a great storm, a seismic storm. And in the fourth watch of the night, that would be between 3 and 6 a.m., Jesus came to them walking on the sea. Now try to imagine this if you would. They're in the boat. They're panicking. They don't know what's going to happen. The sea is beating them back and forth. And they look out and they see a man walking on the sea. They were terrified. And they said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. And Jesus spoke to them. And notice what he says. "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." Isn't that encouraging? Jesus is walking on the storms, the very storms that he created. And he walks on a storm. He tells his disciples, "Take heart. It's me. You don't need to be afraid." And then I love Peter. Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." You have to love Peter. Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. I wish I was more like Peter when the storms are out there. I wish I could get out of the boat and walk on the water. He walked on the water as though it was asphalt, as though it was pavement. And he came to Jesus because of his command. His faith was strong. His faith was immovable. Verse 30, "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, and he cried, 'Lord, save me.'" I find something interesting in this passage, and I think we all may have encountered this at some time or another in our Christian walk, that at one moment our faith can be strong and secure, and then at the very next moment, we're like Peter. We look at the circumstances and we begin to sink. I'm reminded in Mark's Gospel, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." So there are times when our faith is strong and we will get out of the boat and walk to Jesus, figuratively speaking. And at the very next moment, within the same minute, we become overwhelmed with what's around us and we begin to sink. But our Lord would not have Peter to drown. Peter said, "Lord, save me." Verse 31, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and he took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt?" He had faith one moment. Now his faith is weak. "Peter, why did you doubt? You could still be out here on a storm with me. You could still be walking on these storm-troubled waters." But I do love the fact that Jesus reached out and took hold of his hand. What father has not had the opportunity to give comfort to a little child who was weary, who was afraid? Just the reaching out of the hand. Verse 32, when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So we see Jesus, he's in the boat during a storm. We see Jesus sending the disciples out in a boat, and he's not in the boat with them. They find themselves in a storm. He comes to them in their storm and provides them comfort and safety. Now, just for a moment, Let's consider the storms of life from God's vantage point. Do any of you think this morning that God is in panic mode? You think the Trinity is wringing their hands, worrying about all that is going on? Is God worried about these struggles? Have they taken Him by surprise? Have they somehow caught Him off guard and He doesn't know what to do or how to react? I trust your answer is no. The prophet Isaiah wrote the words of our Lord in chapter 46, verses 9 through 10. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose. We serve the one who has declared the end from the beginning. What is happening today, whatever storms of life we may face today or tomorrow, they have been decreed, they have been declared by God, and they will work out according to His purpose. They will accomplish His designs. And so we as His people must trust. We must rest in His good counsel and His good will. In the book of Revelation, the Apostle John is given a glimpse of heaven. And in one of those, I believe it's chapter 4, chapter 5, it talks about the sea of glass. It's just calm. That's from God's vantage point. The storms are pounding upon us now. But from God's vantage point, it's all calm. So I trust that you would trust in the God who is sovereign over these storms. He is in control. He is sovereign. We must bow our knee. We must bow our hearts to the outworking of His will. We must trust in Him during these times. And then our third and final point, I'd like you to turn to Philippians chapter 4 as we consider for a moment the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Philippians 4, this is one of my favorite verses. I have a post-it note on my computer at home to remind me. It's probably a prayer that I've prayed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. But Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, we read, do not be anxious Do not be anxious about anything. Don't worry. Paul's instructing the church at Philippi, and he's instructing us not to worry, not to be anxious about these things. If we're not anxious, what are we to do? In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What are we to do in the times of anxiety? We give it to the Lord. As Peter tells us, we cast all of our care upon the Lord because He does care everything about us. And so rather than worry, rather than being anxious, we, in our prayers, we take it to the Lord. But what I find interesting here, and one of the difficulties that I find as a Christian praying in the midst of difficult circumstances, is with thanksgiving. That's the tough part. We take our troubles, we take our sorrows, we take the storms of life, we bring them to Him. And with a thankful heart, we make our request to Him. Why? What does it mean to have a thankful heart? It means that, Lord, we trust You. We thank You that You will work out all these things for our good and for Your glory. And then in verse 7, Paul says, and the peace of God. It's a supernatural peace. It's a peace not of your own. It's a peace that you cannot work up in yourself. And in fact, we find in the book of Galatians, this peace is the fruit of this peace is a fruit of the Spirit. The peace of God, His peace, His supernatural peace, it surpasses all of our understanding. He says it will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. His peace. We can be at peace in our troubled times. We can be at peace in the storm-tossed sea, knowing that God cares for us. He gives us His peace in the storm. It's not my peace. It's His peace. And He says this peace, it guards our hearts. It guards our mind. This word guard is a military term. It means to watch over, to protect. The heart, it refers to our mind, our intellect. The mind refers to our intellect. The heart refers to our emotions. The peace of God stands guard. It protects our mind. It protects our hearts. It helps us to think biblically. It guards our affections that we do not act irrationally. He says, and he does this all through Christ Jesus. So in closing, whatever storms of life we may be called to endure, Jesus is in the boat with us. And he is at rest. So we can be at rest. Jesus said to the storm, "Peace, be still." I'll close with this passage. John chapter 14 and verse 27. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Jesus has left us. He has given us his peace. We have it. We must act and walk by faith and trust what the Lord has provided. Let us close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to spend time in your word, to spend time in prayer, to focus upon your glory, your sovereignty, your majesty. Lord, remind us. Remind us this minute, and the next minute, and the next hour, and the next day. Remind us that you are on the throne. And all things work to good for those who love God, to those who are the called according to your purpose. We learn that in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Even this works for our good and your glory. And though we may not understand tomorrow, we may not understand the near future, we do understand that you are sovereign over the near future. And so Lord, help us to rest in you. The one who not only is in the boat on the storm-tossed sea resting, but also the one who walks on the storm-tossed sea and governs it according to his power. Lord, bless your church this morning. May we take time, even after this closing prayer, to meditate and reflect upon this word. And Lord, may we be a comfort to others. For it's in Jesus' glorious and holy name we pray. Amen.